direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We're continuing our study this week on the life of John the Baptist and really looking at, in the Gospel of John, John the Apostle's use and example of John the Baptist to advance the great truth of who Jesus Christ is. And basically, John has been advancing the truth of the divinity of Jesus Christ. He's writing the Gospel of John with this great purpose that every listener would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, a statement of his full divinity. And so when you have people knock on your door who deny that, who deny the full divinity of Jesus Christ, who deny the truth of John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, they are antichrists. That is the spirit of the antichrist. What we believe about Jesus is crucial and absolutely essential to our salvation. So this is what John is advancing here in John chapter 1. And essentially he says, how do you know that's true? Let me show you and demonstrate that with the witness of John the Baptist. Look at John the Baptist. His witness advances this truth. The witness of John the Baptist is, as he says in verse 34, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Listen, the Jews understood what that meant. To say anyone was the Son of God, was to make them equal with God, was to make them God, and in fact, they wanted to stone him for that. This is a statement of his full divinity. Jesus Christ is true God and true man, two natures united in the one person. So this is the grand truth. This is the truth that is being advanced here. And we're looking at the witness of John the Baptist. And yesterday I began by saying, have you considered what John the Baptist's preaching was like? What his witness was like? This is Luke 3. Meet John the Baptist. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, this is in-your-face preaching. And you'll notice there, these are multitudes coming out. They're coming out to see John in the wilderness. And his first statement is brood of vipers. He's confronting them. He's confronting them about their problem, about their sin, and their need to repent, their need to turn from their sins. You know, today I said, yesterday, we have become so accustomed to some guy up on the stage. And stage reflects the whole theater atmosphere that we've become used to. Up on the stage, sporting his very hip dress, cool shirt, sitting on a bar stool. He's just one of the guys who's going to give you a fireside chat, not going to step on any toes, going to keep it light, down to earth, simple, just a regular kind of guy who's just helping you along your way. Well, meet John. Meet John the Baptist. His preaching is so authoritative, it's so confrontive, it's so in your face, it's so exposing of your life. Multitudes are coming out to him, and they are convicted to the heart. They are cut to the heart. He was a hellfire and brimstone preacher like you have never heard, guaranteed. And I guess I say this because our preaching today across the board doesn't even come close to this. And the sad reality is, it was this kind of preaching that stirred up people and prepared the way for the Lord of glory. It prepared them to see the light. It prepared them to look to Christ and see him in all of his beauty. This is what happened with John the Baptist preaching. Mark chapter 1, verse 5, all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. His preaching was announcing the righteous judgment of God to prepare the way for the Lamb. Well, this has caused quite a stir. Everyone is leaving Jerusalem. Multitudes are repenting and going out into the wilderness to hear this man clothed in. Notice today, even John's dress was offset to make this point. Clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, whose food was locusts and wild honey, whose message is that even the children of Abraham had better repent and flee the wrath to come. Everything about John the Baptist attacks the conventional wisdom of our day. This is a prophet like no other. And in our text, he has caused quite a stir. We read that the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" In fact, we know this prompted this. We know who prompted this. Down in verse 24 of John chapter 1, we read, "Now those who sent were from the Pharisees." Meet the Pharisees. This religious sect in Israel who had memorized 613 commandments, who were the perfect outward conformity keepers of the law, had gathered a delegation of priests and Levites to go and check John's credentials. They had never heard of this guy. Who gave him the right to act as if he were part of the teaching authorities of Israel and to baptize? And the first question they want answered is simply, "Who are you?" Luke's gospel tells us that it had been spreading all over that John was quite possibly the Christ. Luke chapter 15, verse 15. "Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not." There was an expectation. Is John the Baptist the Christ? We've never heard preaching like this. Now John knows this. And here's why I said we get to the character of the true prophet, which validates his witness. The first thing he corrects is that misconception that he is the Christ. He says in verse 20, "He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" When you have that kind of repetitious construction in the Greek, emphasis is being made. John is stressing the point, "I am not the one to be expected." So they go on and they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." The Jews asked that because of the prophecy of Malachi, that before Christ would come, Elijah would appear on the scene of history. Remember that? Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." That's the end of the Old Testament, by the way. Last word being curse. The Jews were looking for Elijah to come before their Messiah would arrive. Was John Elijah? Well, not literally, but he was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Remember Luke chapter 1? "John will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Jesus would say in Matthew 11, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming and will first restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already." And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. "Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. Now, dispensationalists today think that Elijah is going to come before Christ comes. And what's interesting here is that Jesus, if you listen to what he said, he applies the fulfillment of that prophecy to John the Baptist. He says, "Elijah has come already. And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished." The disciples understood that he spoke of John the Baptist. John the Baptist fulfills the prophecy of Malachi. But here's the point. This is the main point. John wouldn't even take that honor to himself. "I'm not." Only Christ had the right to apply it that way. So we're looking at the humility of this prophet. They go on. Are you? So if you're not the Christ, you're not Elijah, are you the prophet, they ask? And he answered and said, no. The prophet goes back to what the Lord said to Moses in Deuteronomy 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Are you the prophet? No. Then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself, John the Baptist? That's what they're asking. And in verse 23, he defines his role and who he is. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John says, I am the voice. This goes back to the book of Exodus. Who did Moses represent? He represented the true prophet, Jesus Christ. He foreshadowed Christ. Who was Aaron? Remember what happened in Exodus 4? Moses complains about his speaking abilities, and the Lord says, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people. He himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. Wow. Moses would be as God. Aaron would be the voice. Did you know John the Baptist's father was Zacharias, a priest, which means John descended as a Levite directly from Aaron? He functions as the voice. Moses was as God, and Aaron was the voice, and Aaron would sort of descend into the background. John applies his role as the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40. What was the voice to do, my friends? The voice was to cry in the barren wilderness. The voice was to cry and to bring glad tidings. The voice was to announce the coming, saying, behold the Lord God. Let me close with this today. Here's the great error in the church. John the Baptist was only the voice. Here is how you gauge the truthfulness of one who speaks to you. Here's how you validate his witness. What is his role? What is his message? John the Baptist says, I'm only the voice. Too many pastors today love to put themselves in the position of Jesus Christ to receive his glory. There are a lot of men in Christian pulpits who love the praise of men more than the praise of God, and they want to entertain the people. And that is the essence of the great apostasy, one who exalts himself over God to receive the glory. Some love the status of the great prophet. Some love great recognition. My friends, John wouldn't even take that. John says, I'm just the voice. I'm not even worthy to loose the sandal strap of Jesus' shoes. That validates his witness. What are you hearing? Someone glorifying their self every day, making you laugh, tickling your ears, or someone whose life is given to confront your life and turn you to the glorious riches of the gospel, to turn you to the face of Jesus Christ? My friends, you must answer that question. Bounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you to get to know us, who we are, and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.